are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Thank you for tuning in to another special report from the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host today, Aaron Fairbanks, and we are taking a special look inside the world of drilling. We're on the line with Mark, who works as a drilling consultant in the Midwest. Mark, thanks for taking some time to chat with us today.
Yes. So,
for those who may not be aware, myself included, can you give us a little bit of an overview of what a drilling consultant is, what you do on a daily basis?
I'm in charge of the drilling operation from cradle to grave. I go out and meet with landowners prior to drilling. I in charge of building locations where they need to be. In charge of putting all the contractors together to drill the well, and in charge of making sure everything goes right and in safety of the men and environmentally protect the environment.
Now, protecting the environment, that's a topic that we've been hearing a lot about. Now, the drilling you do, is it like a traditional well style drilling, if that makes sense, or are you doing fracking as well?
I'm not part of the fracking team. That would come in after I have done my job. They would come in. That'd be production people that come in and do the fracking.
So can you talk a little bit? I mean, you obviously must have some type of geological background. You know, a lot of people, when they hear about fracking, when they hear about drilling in general, they get pretty nervous. And as you're the one kind of in charge of the kind of safety and setup of the initial drill, you know, what do you say to people who have those concerns?
Well, concerns are always good. And it's usually the unknown that people are afraid of. And the only way you can get things out in the open is to talk about them. And when it comes to the drilling, the preparation of the hole, the drilling, the running, the casing, the concreting, that's probably the most important part of the whole aspect into fracking, is to make sure you have a good cement job around your casing. And what you do is when you drill a well, to create the path of least resistance for the gas or oil to reach surface. And to be environmentally safe and sound, there's several layers of casing that are ran in the well bore. You start off with, what I'm doing right now is a 16-inch hole. By the time we get down to where we're going to actually produce from, we're down to a 7 7/8 hole. And there's been 11 3/4 inch casing ran, there's 8 5/8 casing ran, and then there's 5 1/2 casing ran, with all those casings being cemented back to surface. So the big thing is to make sure you get a good cement job, and that can be verified by running some tests in the hole. That look for cement bond logs that will tell you if the concrete is adhered to the pipe. And providing those tests are positive, there should never be a problem. There's stratigraphic oil and gas is trapped into the ground by stratigraphic traps, which means there's hard layers of rock between the oil and the gas and surface. Now, there's times that Mother Nature has breached and oil and gas has seeped to surface on its own. I mean, that's a natural occurring event. That's how oil was discovered back in the day, I believe, in Pennsylvania. There was actually oil seeps. But typically, you have the oil is trapped in these stratigraphic traps, and when you go in there and frack... Well, you know, the word fracking is only been talked about the last few years, but in the reality, fracking's been going on probably for the last 25 or 30 years. It's not that new of a technology. So
obviously kind of fuel consumption, fuel extraction has been a big topic of conversation in our country for, you know, really as long as we've been in existence. And I'm wondering if you could maybe talk about some of the alternatives to the work you're doing and why you think that the drilling for extraction is the way to go.
Well, it comes down to energy. And every day we wake up in the morning, we look in the mirror, we turn on the light, we use energy. You turn on your heat, you use energy. And you get in your car and you drive, you use energy. You know, energy is just used for everything in our daily life that we take for granted. And I think that every person should take the time and go out in the oil field and look and see what it takes to create this energy. Because there's really a lot of a lot that goes on that we, most people, just take for granted. Now, when you come to, let's talk about 5 years ago, natural gas prices were $13 per 1,000 cubic feet. Each 1,000 cubic feet will generate 1 million BTUs. Today, those prices are at $3 or $3.20. per 1,000 cubic feet or per 1 million BTUs. And that is because of the hydraulic fracking in the Marcellus Shale. So it's really turned that around in some other shale beds throughout the United States. So as much as you'd like to give hydraulic fracking a black eye, it has altered everybody's life and has created some means of cheap energy and energy independence for the United States. And I think that's our goal, is to become energy independent of the United States. At the same time, it is very important to protect the environment. And people that are concerned about the environment and concerned about the water are good things to ask questions and make sure that that's not going to take place. But typically, when people start saying things, and I've listened to both sides, and I see a lot of things that are being said that are untrue about the oil industry and about the fracking, because there are, like I said, there are stratigraphic traps that are penetrated, and providing you have a good cement job, and that is the key. To having good cement jobs on your casing. And if it is identified that you do not have a good cement job, then there are things that can be done to make that cement job right, or that well should be just plugged and abandoned and not fracked. So it's very important that the agencies that are policing the industry reads these logs or has people that can identify good from bad before it can happen. And people in the oil and gas industry do not want to pollute things uphole. So they have their own engineers that read the cement bond logs to make sure that they have good, competent cement jobs between the casing and the rock. You know what I mean? It's very important that that happens. And you know, we've heard these things that we have gas coming out of our water well. Well, a lot of these water wells have natural occurring gas in it before the oil industry even came. If the water well is in a coal bed or in a shale bed, it's very true that a lot of these wells have gas before the oil industry even got there. It's not uncommon for that to happen in certain areas, you know. So
you think that's not a result of the drilling, or that it was a, you know, pre-existing condition, so to speak?
There are pre-existing, yes, that's a fact. some of these people, where they said this is occurring, it was already there before the oil industry was there. When they go into the, when you talk about fracking, most of these wells are fracked several thousand feet below the earth. And they can only use so much fracking pressure, you know, so much pressure to. Actually, these, when you say frack, the cracks are already pre-existing. They're just opening the cracks up. And what they do is they use water pressure to open the cracks up. And then they pump in a some type of an additive, which I don't have any idea what this stuff. But what it does is it makes a formation sticky. And then behind that, they pump in sand. And it's a very special sand. There's different types of sand. There's triangular sand, which is not porous. And then there's round sand, very round. And if you were to look at it underneath the microscope, it would appear much like little marbles. And they pump that sand in there. And so when they're done pumping, the earth cannot collapse back together. So these little sand pebbles actually hold the earth apart to create the path of least resistance to allow the gas to come into the wellbore, thus come up the casing to surface where it can enter the, you know, the chain of energy for the United States.
So I want to understand a little bit more, you know, your position. As a drilling consultant, do you essentially work kind of like a gun for hire, or are you kind of nested within a larger organization?
I work for a lot of different oil and gas companies throughout the United States. I travel with my expertise. People hire me to go there to take the well from the beginning to the end, basically, to make sure things are done right. I'm there to make sure the well is drilled correctly. I'm there to make sure the men are in a safe environment, as safe as it can be. I'm there to protect the environment from anything that may transpire, to make sure things are done right. And I'm held to the highest standards. So if I don't do my job, I don't get hired anymore.
So when you come in, I'm just curious what's happened before you got there. Obviously, the land or the rights to drill on the land have been procured. Are there other preparations that happen in advance of your team hitting the ground?
You're breaking up again. Oh. I only heard a very small portion of what you said.
I'm just curious, before you get on location, I'm assuming that there's some things that have happened ahead of time. You know, obviously either the land or rights to drill on the land have been secured, but are there any other preparations that happen in advance of your team?
There's been typically prior to me coming to do my job, there's been somebody's met with the landowners or the person that owns the mineral rights. They've secured the right to drill there. Then what they do is they go in, they typically run seismic so they can determine if at all there is a good drill site there. You know, it's a numbers game. You can't just drill anywhere and make a well. You have to look for certain stratigraphic traps in the ground, and when those stratigraphic traps are found, then usually I receive a call for a particular job. I will again go in and meet with the landowner, tell them where I think we need to set the well pad up that is not close to anything that would be detrimental to the environment or to anybody else, and I will pick the place to drill. And if the target is not straight down, then obviously we'll kick towards it. You know, sometimes we drill vertical holes, sometimes we drill 30, 40, 50-degree holes, sometimes we go down, we turn and go horizontal, depending on what type of drill it may be. And I have done them all. I was in, not 2 years ago, I was drilling in Pennsylvania for about 6 months, doing horizontal holes there. I travel all over the United States and drill in different areas.
So your team sets up the actual well, and then the team that's going to do the extraction or manage the extraction process comes in behind you. Is that correct?
Correct.
Cool. Interesting. Correct. Wow. Mark, I'm curious, you know, was there anything we missed or anything that you'd like to share with our audience? I mean, we've predominantly heard from people who fall pretty strongly on the anti-drilling, anti-fracking side of the argument, and I just wanted you to, you know, come on to give us a little bit of perspective on your work and if there was anything you wanted to share that you feel is maybe being underrepresented in this conversation.
I think the oil industry in whole in the United States has made great, great changes from the early, from the beginning of oil to where we are now. Much like industry in whole in the United States has made great changes. And the environmental practices of the oil industry is as good or better than any place in the world. One thing about the United States is we outdrill any country in the world. We have the best technology, we have the best equipment, we have the best trained men. And it is good that people are concerned about something they don't know about, and it is good that they ask, and it is good that they research. But it is very important for the United States to become energy independent. And the only way we can do that is to continue to look and search for energy. And when we become energy independent, we will become able to keep our people working. We'll be able to become very competitive in the market, the world market, as far as making products. We'll be able to pay a higher wage because it costs less to produce energy to create products. So it's in the big picture, to me, energy is very important. It's very important.
Mark, thank you so much for taking some time to share your perspective, okay. And I really appreciate
it. God bless everybody.
That has been a special segment on the Heritage Radio Network. We took a look inside the world of fracking. As always, stay tuned in for future coverage of emerging issues and topics.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.